Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for mentors and teachers like Maggie, who have guided teenagers and youth and children to see the light that you have placed within them, who become lights in their communities. We thank you for the prophets of the scriptures who have been lights to us. But more than anything, God, we thank you, for you are the light, the master, and the teacher who leads us on our way. Help us, oh God, to be students who are willing to go where you sent us, who are willing to listen and willing to learn. Speak, Lord. Speak, our Lord, for we need to hear your voice. Amen. Our scripture today comes from 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now, I'm going to read from the Message translation, but you're invited to follow along with whatever translation that you have, whether that's printed or on your phone, on tablet, whatever that you have. And this is about a wonderful pair of master or teacher or mentor and student. Just before God took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on a walk out of Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Bethel." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Bethel. The guild of prophets at Bethel met Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jericho." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Jericho. The guild of prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jordan." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." And so the two of them went on their way together. Meanwhile, 50 men from the guild of prophets gathered some distance away while the two of them stood at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and hit the water with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through on dry land. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything." Elisha said, "Your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you." "That's a hard one," said Elijah. "But if you're watching when I'm taken from you, you get what you've asked for, but only if you're watching." And so it happened. They were walking along and talking. Suddenly, a chariot and horses of fire came between them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it all and shouted, my father, you, the chariot and cavalry of Israel." And when he could no longer see anything, he grabbed his robe, ripped it into pieces. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, returned to the shore of Jordan, and stood there. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is a wonderful pair, Elijah and Elijah. They are very similar in how they've acted and in their journeys. Both men perform miracles and small wonders. To recall Elijah, that great thunderous prophet, the elusive prophet. Remember him? He encountered the widow of Zarephath, who had no oil, had gone out to gather a few pieces of wood to bake a cake for she and her son. And Elijah came upon her and said, "Make me a cake and fix me something to eat." And she said, "I only have just enough to die." And the oil held out for many days, and then the son died and he revived him. You know, Elijah, who likes to create trouble with people around him. Elijah, who called down the drought that lasted for 3 years. You know, Elisha himself performed a miracle of oil. There was a widow. They both seemed to come into contact with widows. There was a widow who couldn't pay her debt, who was going to be thrown into prison or killed, and he told her to take her oil, and she only had a small amount. And he said, that will be enough oil. Go pour it into buckets. And she had enough oil to pay off all of her debt. And then they both had confrontations with powers and principalities. You remember Elijah, he threw this big barbecue. You know, he had this big confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and they brought the big altars. You remember the story, right? Where the prophets of Baal put their sacrifice on the altar, and they prayed all day, and the Baal god never caused fire. And Elijah had them put water on his sacrifice, and he prayed one time, and poof, they had a barbecue. You remember that one? Yeah. And Elijah, he continued on in Elijah's, and he continued on and with Elijah's journey of confronting the two kings who had gone and led Israel astray, and he continued with the journey of replacing them. And both men stood up against the powers that were leading the children of Israel astray, and they said no to those powers, and they spoke truth to power. Elijah taught Elijah that it was Yahweh and only Yahweh in which the people of Israel could have true freedom. And it was only in following Yahweh in which they could know their identity. And it was only in following Yahweh in which they could have freedom. The mentor relationship, the master-student relationship. Elisha did inherit the spirit of Elijah, and he became bold, and he became a prophet among his people. When you look at these two, you can think of another pair of master and student, that of Moses and Joshua. Moses, the great liberator who took the people from slavery through the wilderness, but he himself was not allowed to enter into the promised land. In fact, Moses and Elijah are often compared. You remember Elijah's great travel through the desert to Mount Horeb, where he had to sustain himself on bread and water, much like the Israelites had sustained themselves on manna and water. Both Elijah and Moses got to see God face to face. Moses getting the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, which is also Mount Horeb, where Elijah had escaped Jezebel and gone to the cave, where it was the thunder and the lightning and the fire and then the still small voice. Both Moses and Elijah had proteges, Joshua and Elisha, and Moses had to hand off the caring for the people to Joshua, and Joshua led the Israelites to cross Jordan. Remember the story of Jordan that we read? And take them to the promised land. Joshua, that bold warrior, who was one of the spies who went into Canaan and came back with a report, even though they were giants, we can overcome. Joshua, who led the people into a time of peace once the conquering had happened. Joshua, who carried on Moses' journey, Moses' charge, so to speak. Both were master and student, mentor, and those who were being guided. All this brings us to an understanding that we all need to be guided in some parts of our lives. And it reminded me of Christ and the church. Christ came, taught, fed, healed, and his parting words to us was to go and preach the gospel, baptizing believers and teaching them all the things that I've taught you. and he established the church. The church was left to carry on the mission of Christ. That's our charge, to do that which Christ was doing here on earth. Christ our Savior, Christ our teacher, and here we are. We're charged just like Joshua and Elijah to carry on the work. What will our report card say? Have we carried on the mission of Christ? Have we carried on that great commission of Matthew 25 to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to visit those imprisoned by whatever the bars that are surrounding them, to care for the marginalized, to stand in the gap for the poverty, those in poverty, to speak out against injustice, to form communities of love who do not judge. That is the call of the church. We are charged with carrying on the Master's plan, the Master's will. We have been tutored, we have been guided, we have been left with the Holy Spirit to teach and guide us still. How are we doing? Do we study the instruction manual? Or do we simply allow it to sit on our desk and we haul it out every so often? Do we feast on the Word till it becomes a part of us? Or do we read it only through our own lens to hear what we want to hear or to justify our own motives? Do we allow ourselves to be shaped by God, or do we wish to shape God in our own image? Do we go to God before we make our decisions, or do we go to God and say, here, just rubber stamp our own desires? You ever been caught with that one? I have. Do we truly bow down to the Master, or do we wish the Master would bow down to us? Are we willing to go to the places that Christ went himself? Or would we rather stay cocooned in our own zones of comfort? Do we realize that we are created in God's image, not God forged in our likeness? We will on Wednesday begin the great season of Lent. That season of reflection. That season in which we must ask ourselves tough questions. Who is Jesus? Will we follow him to the cross? Do we love him? Do we want to be made well? Are we willing to be authentic and honest before him? The question I want us to ponder this week as we get ready for Wednesday, are we willing to take up the mantle of Christ? Christ does not force himself on us. He offers us the option of taking the mantle, of taking up the cross. Are we truly ready, willing, and able to accept the mantle of Christ? Individually, as a faith family, are we willing to do that?